Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus, our Lord. Today is Monday, March the 11th. It is the day that the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. I pray you all had a good weekend and that you sense that things are already getting better, already getting easier. And that you know that God has a plan and that God is working things out. Mondays matter, regardless the mood you are in this morning. Some of us are still reeling and rocking from this time change. I love falling back, but I hate springing forward, I tell you. But regardless of the mood we're in, Mondays matter. One of my favorite movies is Groundhog Day. It's about a weatherman who is reporting the news from a small town on Groundhog's Day. This guy has a bad attitude, nasty mouth, and bad manners. After reporting the news that day due to bad weather, he was stuck in this small town. And so he laid down, he went to sleep, but to his horror, he wakes up to the same day over and over. He finds himself confronted with the same situations he had faced just the day before all over again. Only, of course, it isn't a new day. He's stuck on Groundhog's Day. But only he is aware of the repetition which is taking place as he experiences the repetition of the day before. He met the same people, did the same things, and said the exact same things, and ended up at the end of a promising day on a sour note, where he had to start all over again the next day. He becomes increasingly angry and then depressed, and he even commits suicide. But the next morning, he hears his alarm and the cycle continues. Eventually, he gives up. He stops fighting the situation and decides to use this time productively. In other words, he considered his ways, and after changing his attitude, the spell broke and he beheld a brand new day. The movie never explains why Bill Murray's character got stuck, and it really doesn't matter. Murray is us. He's every man, he's every woman. When faced with challenging situations and circumstances, we instinctively resist the struggle. We get angry and we try to manipulate the world around us. And when that doesn't work, we sometimes fall into despair. But only one response really creates the change we desire. The response is to surrender. Don't miss what I'm about to say to you, because it is very, very important. What we resist persists. What we resist persists. But what we release can float away from us. When you surrender, you remove yourself from the power struggle of your past and release the energy that creates space for what you really want to come into your life. What behaviors and attitudes do you need to change to avoid Groundhog Day repetition in your life? Maybe you should spend time considering your ways and how your choices have impacted where you are in life right now. I wouldn't consider myself a conspiracist. However, I find it interesting how organized human society wants us to do everything but consider our ways. Because if we consider our ways, then maybe a lot of companies will go out of business. So therefore, instead of society encouraging us to change our behavior, what do? We create alternatives that helps us to avoid the consequences of our actions. For example, if you eat a lot of junk food, it will affect your health. In order to avoid these consequences, we've developed synthetic cooking oil used as a calorie-free fat substitute so that we can eat all the tater chips and ice cream our heart desire without raising our cholesterol. Over the years, we've developed a multitude of artificial sweeteners so we can drink all the sodas we want without rotting our teeth. In short, what we're constantly trying to do is repeal the law of sowing and reaping, sever the connection between action and consequence, not just with eating and drinking, but in every area of life. It's a universal human urge. People want to enjoy the benefits without paying the price. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. It comes up again this morning. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what a man sows. We can deceive ourselves if we want to be deceived. We can be as wicked as we want to be wicked. But all of that will not change God's rule. What a person sows, that person will surely reap. This is a universal law. In fact, the entire world of physical science is dominated by laws. From astronomy to zoology, all of these areas of study are absolutely predictable because the universe is built on laws, physical laws. So in verse 7 of Galatians chapter 6, Paul mentions a divine law which God has put into the very fabric of the world, the law of sowing and reaping. It carries the same amount of weight as the law of gravity. If you climb up on the roof of your house thinking you can rebel against gravity by jumping, you will discover after we scrape you off the ground that gravity will win every time force connects itself to your body and it heads towards anything that has mass. The law of sowing and reaping dictates that we can be assured that we will reap what we sow, but we can never know exactly how much we reap until the time of harvest. That being so, Paul is warning his readers not to be deceived or misled into thinking they can ignore God and avoid the undesirable consequences of their unrighteous life. On this Monday, I really want to start you off this week by telling you, you are free to choose, but you are not free from the consequences of your choices. Church, life is all about choices. The choices that we make, sometimes we make the right choices and sometimes we don't make the right choices. But with every choice we make comes the consequences of that choice. Maybe the reason you keep repeating the course, coming up empty and failing to reach your goals is because of the choices you've been making. But if we say amen to that, then that shifts the blame to you and not the hand life has dealt you. You see, beloved, it's easy and convenient for us to blame our failures on the cards life has dealt us. But the reality is, here it is, you will never be dealt a hand that with God's help can't be turned into a winning hand. Job was dealt a bad hand. His 10 children died. He lost his cattle and sickness had attacked his body. But God turned his losing hand into a winning hand by giving him double for his trouble. Joseph was dealt a bad hand. His brothers hated on him, threw him into a pit, and sold him into slavery. But God turned his losing hand into a winning hand by delivering him from a pit and promoting him to a palace. Jesus himself was dealt a bad hand. He was rejected by his own, wrongly accused, unjustly crucified. But God turned his losing hand into a winning hand early Sunday morning when Jesus rose from the grave and declared all power is in his hands. So stop complaining about your cards because you can't lose when God is the dealer. Get this and never turn it loose. Success is a planned outcome. It's not an accident. By understanding the immutable, unchangeable laws of sowing and reaping, you will discover that success and mediocrity are both absolutely predictable because they follow the same law. If you want to reap more rewards, you have to sow more contributions. You are where you are because that's what you've sown in the past. So if you are not pleased with where you are today, it is your responsibility to choose to sow seeds to your spirit today, because your spirit is the only hope you have to reaching your destiny. I can prove it to you. Paul says that if you sow to your flesh, guess what? You will reap what the flesh produces. Well, what does the flesh produce? Hatred, pride, fear, jealousy. To sum it up, anything that does not resemble God. You are repeating the course because God cannot take you where your spirit cannot control your flesh. Because if God takes you to the next level and you lack spiritual control over your flesh, your new season will look like the old season because you are feeding your flesh and reaping what the flesh produces. When was the last time you fed your spirit? When was the last time you read the word of God in your leisure time? When was the last time you spent time with God outside of church? You can't harvest something that has not been sown. Church, success in life and in the kingdom of God is the effect generated by the right thinking, right attitudes, and right actions. Success and failure are not accidents, but consequences. If you want to know what you've sown in the past, look around you and see what you're reaping today. And this is where parents have to be careful concerning the seeds that you sow, because years after we have repented and been forgiven, the seeds that we have sowed must still harvest, and they might not harvest in your life, but will harvest in your children's life. Because forgiveness, get this, does not revoke the universal principle that what you sow, you must also reap. Y'all know David, right? King David had an affair with a married woman. That's the seed. A child was born from that affair, but died. That's the consequence. David asked God to create within him a clean heart. That's the repentance. God forgave David. That's the mercy. God even blessed David with more children. That's the grace. But years later, David's eldest son rapes his beautiful daughter that destroyed the family. That's the harvest. Just because you ask God for mercy doesn't mean God is going to cancel the harvest, because what you sow, you must also reap. However, the message of forgiveness and God's redemptive power adds a vital layer of hope to this principle. That while forgiveness doesn't erase consequences, it opens the door to a process of redemption that allows us to learn, grow, and emerge stronger from challenging times. Imagine a farmer who has neglected their crops. They might face a meager harvest, a natural consequence of their neglect, yet this doesn't spell the end of their farming journey. They can choose to learn from their mistakes by replenishing the soil and planting new seeds. The same is with us. When we face the consequences of our actions, God offers redemption as the fertile ground for a new beginning. We can acknowledge our shortcomings, seek forgiveness, and actively seek to make amends where possible. This process, fueled by repentance and a genuine desire to change, allows us to rebuild trust and mend broken relationships. But get this, God's redemptive power goes farther than that. Even if the consequences of our actions impact areas beyond our control, God can use these difficulties to refine our character and strengthen our faith. The challenges we face can become opportunities to develop resilience, empathy, and a deeper dependence on God. That through prayer and reflection and a commitment to living righteously, we can transform the reaping phase into a transformative journey that ultimately leads us closer to God and a life of purpose. As we move forward this week, let's remember that God's love and God's forgiveness are boundless. And even if we find ourselves reaping what we've sown, it's not the end of the story. This reaping phase can be a catalyst for growth, a chance to learn valuable lessons and make amends. So embrace the opportunity to rebuild trust, to strengthen your faith, and emerge from this reaping phase stronger and more resilient. Hold on to the promise of redemption, because God's grace can transform even the most difficult situations into opportunities for spiritual growth and a renewed sense of purpose. Trust in God's guidance. Seek God's wisdom and allow God to work through you, because with faith and a contrite heart, you can move beyond the reaping and step into a brighter future, one filled with God's love and the promise of a new beginning. So I want to welcome you to the first day of the rest of your life. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. All we got is right now. If this is your first time on the call, welcome. My name is Marcus D. Collins, and I am a part of an amazing community called Grace Church, and I am thrilled all of you got up this morning to share in this sacred space. So my prayer for you today is this, that you find peace in God's forgiveness and the hope of redemption that dawns even in the midst of harvest. Let's pray. Father, as we conclude our time together this morning, we lift our hearts to you in gratitude for your unwavering love and forgiveness. We acknowledge that our choices have consequences, and we accept the lessons learned during this reaping phase. Grant us the strength to take responsibility for our actions and the humility to seek amends where possible. Guide us as we rebuild trust and mend broken relationships. More importantly, Father, we place our faith in your redemptive power. May the challenges we face become opportunities for growth and transformation. Refine our character, strengthen our faith, and use us as instruments of your love in the world. Lord, even amidst the challenges we face, we recognize the blessings that surrounds us. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of life, another day to experience your creation and the love of those around us. We are grateful for the strength you provided to navigate difficulties, the wisdom to make decisions, and the grace that carried us through moments of doubt. For the laughter shared with loved ones, the beauty of nature that surrounds us, in the quiet moments of peace we find, we offer our sincerest gratitude. May we never lose sight of the abundance that fills our lives, even when challenges cloud our vision. So, Father, we ask that you would help us to cultivate the everyday blessings that enrich our journeys, and the knowledge that they are not alone, that these blessings are not standalone blessings, but they are part of a whole. So, Lord, help us to find reasons for gratitude, even in the midst of darkness. Father, we live in a mean and cruel world, It seems negativity and cruelty are woven into the very fabric of society, leaving us feeling weary and afraid. In this harsh reality, Lord, we reach out to you as our only source of true comfort and strength. We need you more than ever. So, Father, we ask that you would shield us from the darkness that surrounds us. Grant us the courage to stand up for what is right, even when it feels like a losing battle. Fill us with your compassion so that we may be a beacon of light in a world that desperately needs it. Guide our words and actions that we may respond to negativity with kindness and to cruelty with forgiveness. Help us to see the good in others, even when it's difficult. Remind us of your unwavering love, a love that transcends our understanding. In the darkest corners of the world, your light still shines. And now, Lord, as we stand at the threshold of a new day, we come before you with hearts filled with faith and determination. We declare our dependence on you, knowing that in this world, true victory comes only through your grace. And we claim victory today. Victory over fear and doubt. Replace these anxieties with the unwavering strength of your presence. Empower us to face challenges with courage and navigate uncertainties with a clear mind. We claim victory over negativity. Fill us with your joy and optimism, reminding us of the abundance of blessings that surround us. We may approach this day, help us to approach this day, Father, with a grateful heart and a spirit that inspires those around us. Lord, we even claim victory over obstacles and setbacks. Grant us the wisdom to overcome challenges, the resilience to persevere through difficulties, and the faith to trust in your perfect plan. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your name and the promise of victory that you offer us. We walk forward with confidence today, knowing that you are with us. And it is enough that you are with us. So, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name. Everybody shout amen and thank God. Hey, listen, thank you so much for tuning in this morning. I pray you all have a great start to your week. The replay call will be uploaded to the website this morning. I'm rooting for you today. So be watchful, be mindful, and be encouraged. Peace.